Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. Jim Delaney on the show tomorrow, the commissioner of the Big Ten. Kevin wrote down a series of questions that he wants answered, such as, is Bucknell a candidate for absorption?
I thought that was a really good question. Not that there's anything wrong with the Patriot League, don't get me wrong, but it would just give us an opportunity to hang out more often.
That makes it 50% of the people on the show think it's a good question.
I'm just looking for more quality time with you, Steven.
Can't wait to see my Christmas gift. Yeah. We actually evidently won our flight in the tournament.
Yes. Yes, we did.
I can't wait to see what I get to buy.
Maybe you'll buy me something. You don't know.
No, I don't ever see the gift certificates. Ever.
That's my point. Maybe you'll buy me something. You don't know.
Evidently, a couple years ago, I did.
I took a picture of the certificate and texted it to you. I said, you'll be getting something really nice for Christmas.
Yeah, I'll bet. I bet. All right, 800-795-9565. The Bears release Ray McDonald after another incident, this time at 3:44 in the morning. Very little good happens at 3:44 in the morning if you're awake and aware, unless you're working third shift. Just doesn't. And they released him right away. I'd said in the opening of the show, while Kevin was trying to insert the brilliance of Graham Rahal finishing fifth and never being competitive, I was actually, instead of going through that, I was actually talking about the importance of there's certain lines that, to me, in running a team, you can't cross. Years ago, in 1996, and you can look this up, I think the year was 1996, the New England Patriots drafted Christian Peter out of Nebraska. And if I recall the story correctly, he had had eight incidents, four of which he had been convicted for. One of them was also holding a woman by the throat. The Patriots drafted him in the fifth round, and Myra Kraft, not Robert Kraft, Myra Kraft, Robert Kraft's wife, said, I don't want him playing for us. And the next day, the Patriots waived him. It was the first time in the history of the NFL that a player was drafted and waived before training camp. Eventually, Peter did sign and play with the New York Giants. I think he also played with the Bears, and I think with one other team. I mean, you can look this up. But I think he had eight different incidents, including one where he had a woman by the throat when he was at Nebraska. The Patriots drafted him in the fifth round, and Myra Kraft said to Robert Kraft, he is not going to play it down for our football team. And they waived him the next day.
He had eight run-ins with the law for various offenses.
So my story's pretty close.
Some of which are so disturbing, I don't even want to mention them.
Okay. But if I recall, that's, you know, I think I'll get that story pretty much right. And she said no. I think it was like a week before they released him, but it wasn't the next day. It was like a week, right? Something like that. But then they released him.
It was about a month before the draft. He was not. He had his eighth arrest.
Right, but I'm saying that the Patriots released him though about a week after the draft.
It was a week after, right?
Yep, and they. She wouldn't tolerate it, and he realized it, and that was it. The Patriots waived him. There are certain decisions that you have to make. There are certain offenses, and it has to be your own standard. What offenses bring with it second and third chances? Which ones don't? To me, domestic violence is one that doesn't bring with it other chances. Child abuse does not bring with it other chances. I mean, in terms of playing in the league, I don't mean in life. Now, other people are going to sign these people. But, for example, I'm running a team, and I'm going to lose 2 wins a year because I don't have Adrian Peterson because I didn't deal for him. I'll just have to accept my fate. The part about Peterson that always bothered me was his initial reaction to it. And the initial reaction of others around him saying, well, no, you don't understand where they come from in that part of Texas. I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? I don't care where the heck you're from. It's still a kid. Doesn't mean children don't do something wrong, but women? A woman should not be someone's battering ram. Ever. And that means intimidation verbally, intimidation physically, intimidation mentally. Can't be tolerated. And to me, that's one of those lines. Ray McDonald's agent comes to me and says, you know, what do you think about having, I don't know what team I'm running. Let's pick a team. I'm running the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right? I've just lost Jason Worlds. All right. I look at him and go, no. There are a lot of guys that can do what Ray McDonald does that doesn't have this. Greg Hardy. There are a lot of guys in the NFL, they may not be to his level, but there are a lot of guys that can do what he does. I'm going to go with people that don't have that hanging over their head. Now, Michael Vick today, the perception of him today is different than when he got out of prison. But if I were to roll back in time to the time he got out of prison, would I have signed him? No, I would not have. Even though I know that he did his time. Even though I know he was remorseful. Now, since then, he has proven over a period of time by his actions off the field that he has changed his life. Now, when someone does that, you have to give them credit for that. But I do know to put myself back in time to when he was out of prison, and I'm running a team, and I have a chance to sign Michael Vick, who was then, I believe, 30 years old at the time, prime of his career coming up, would I have signed him? The answer, even though the answer today, years removed, would be like, okay, we'd consider it. The answer back then, I know for me, would have been no. And I haven't changed my mind on that. I would not have. I'm not going to look at my consumer, my fan base, that loves dogs and explain to them why I'm going to have Michael Vick on my team. I'm not going to explain to my fan base, my consumers, of which many happen to be women. Oh, and by the way, it's not just women, but also responsible men who would never think of doing anything to a woman except treating them right, and explain to them why I'm hiring Greg Hardy, why I'm hiring Ray McDonald. Why do I want to explain that? There are other people that bring talents to the table that I can hire that bring with them, and they're not all angels, but don't bring that with them. And the same thing with Adrian Peterson. I know there are people that will be fighting over getting him. My team would not be one of them. Because remember, initially, how remorseful, Kevin, was Adrian Peterson when this initially came up?
Well, it's like you said, he was first saying, well, this is what we do.
It's like, they almost acted like, what's the big deal? Oh, I don't know. Men are perfect, women aren't perfect, children aren't perfect. But there are lines that you don't cross. Don't cross. And if I'm in that position, I mean, look, there's a multitude of things that people make a mistake, do wrong, whatever. Okay, fine. Okay, I'll work with you here. Okay, I'm not going to take your livelihood or anything like that. We don't have a strict, like, you know, no second chance policy. No, 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 no. People make mistakes. People make errors in judgment. Okay? But then there are other lines that, to me, are lines you don't cross. And if you cross them, I don't want you in my organization. Domestic violence? Child abuse? Really? You want to consciously? Well, everybody deserves a second chance. Look, okay. Greg Hardy is in the position to be judged the way he is because of Greg Hardy. Ray McDonald is in the position he's in right now because of, oh, I don't know, Ray McDonald. And again, I'm not going to have a locker room filled with angels, but I will point this out that people realize this. Athletes, as entertainers, are in a position where more stories come out about them than the average person. Yet when you look at the percentages of crime within those in a locker room compared to general society, they're actually lower. Even though locker rooms are a cross-section, I don't care whether it's a college locker room, a pro locker room, whatever it happens to be, clubhouse. But the percentage in each sport, basketball, football, baseball, hockey, the actual percentage on crime is lower than general society for the same age group, same demographics. But because you're an athlete and an entertainer, it is far more publicized. But even in that realm, domestic violence, child abuse are two lines that can't be tolerated, cannot be tolerated, cannot be condoned. Can't. And if it costs me some wins, or maybe it costs me my job, at least walk out knowing I did the right thing. Figure out some other way to win. But you don't want to sell yourself. Just, I'm telling you, he's going to get us 15 sacks. Look, I'll find three other guys and somehow cobble together maybe 9 to 10 sacks. You know, but I'm going to feel better about the makeup of the team if I do. I'm going to feel better about looking at my fan base and looking at my consumers that buy my tickets, knowing that I did the right thing judgment-wise. Now, if it's somebody within my organization and you want to fully investigate it, fully take a look at it, okay, at least it's somebody you at least know a little bit better, okay. You can take a longer, harder look at it as to how to deal with it. But signing someone from the outside that you don't really know as well, that has something like that staring you in the face, I can't agree with it. I'd be the one in the room with the door shut, privately telling everybody, no, don't do this. Don't do this. That's me. If I'm wrong, tell me. 800-795-9565 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
May is a full month of special days. Memorial Day, Mother's Day, Cinco de Mayo, and of course, Hyundai!
Hyundai!
And Sunbury Motors Hyundai deals are on fire. Sonata starting at $19,790 or take advantage of 0% for 75 months. Hyundai Genesis discounted over $11,000. Hyundai Elantra starting at $16,989. The year's best selection of Santa Fe and Santa Fe Sport all-wheel drives in stock with rates as low as 1.9%. Take over $6,000 off in-stock 2015 Sonata hybrids. Check us out at sunburymotors.com. America's best warranty, 10 years, 100,000 miles. Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Great fuel mileage. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Cutting-edge technology and safety. Think Hyundai.
Hyundai.
Pressure and gimmick-free buying with the lowest prices. Think Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Plus tax and tax financing with approved credit and all buyers will qualify. See dealer for complete details.
Read a very interesting article on Saturday about racing. It was IndyCar, NASCAR, and the premise, of course, dealt mostly with Danica Patrick. And about, because she had, what, 7 top 10 finishes at Indy? Something like that.
Yeah, first woman to lead a lap at Indianapolis, too.
Right, but she had 7 top 10 finishes. She had her usual 22nd on Saturday night. And I think she's had, what, 2 top 10s this year?
Have there been 2?
2 top 10s.
Have there been 2?
I think she's had 2 top 10s this year. But, you know, but again, still that she's still in that 15 to 25 range, usually 20 to 25 on average. But they asked her about going back to Indianapolis. And, you know, now I realize I will preface by saying that you're interviewing people who are currently employed by somebody that has them running NASCAR. But I think when it comes to Indy and the Indy 500, there's more leeway about letting drivers try a double, like Kurt Busch did last year. Robbie Gordon used to do that. Andretti did it. So it was brought up to her, and she said, no, I really got to really lock in on this. And they asked Sam Hornish that. And Hornish won the race in 2006, I want to say. And the same thing with him. He said, I missed the Indy 500, but, you know, this circuit is. And Tony Stewart, you know, of course, Tony Stewart's never gone back. And I found it just to be interesting listening to the NASCAR drivers. For Jeff Gordon, who grew up in Indiana, driving the pace car, and then they presented him with the license plate, was a tremendous thrill for him. But racing the Indianapolis 500, while a dream when he was growing up, is no longer a dream. He's going to be on Fox next year doing TV and so forth. And I think he's going to be an excellent commentator. But I noticed that there's no real feel to want to go to Indy, race IndyCar. They want to stay in NASCAR, you know, which is a grind. There's no question it's a grind, but I found that interesting. And that's a and what's really interesting is the change. It takes a different skill to do each. But if you remember back in the late 60s, Kevin, Mario Andretti goes down to race Daytona, wins. A.J. Foyt goes down, races Daytona, wins. It was embarrassing for NASCAR that the IndyCar guys would show up, grab a ride, win the race. That's the only time you see them all year. Now, you don't see drivers in NASCAR who have left Indy want to go back. Allmendinger, another one, doesn't have any deal about going back. Those who have gone back, well, prime example is the guy that won Sunday. Juan Pablo Montoya, Jean Girard of NASCAR. He went back and won.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin with a brand new car to drive during Memorial Day week.
Yeah, this week we're featuring the 2015 Kia Forte 5, which right now has special low APR financing for 66 months. If you qualify, you'll get 0% financing, up to 1.9% financing. Plus, there's cashback offers, and if you know someone that is in college or has just graduated from college, they can get $400 back, as well as $400 in a military offer. Looking at the 2015 EX model this week with Eco, that will get you gas mileage back and forth around town type of driving at about 30 miles to the gallon. The Kia Forte 5 available from Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of great features that we'll talk about throughout the week available on the Kia Forte 5 from Sunbury Motors Kia.
And Sunbury Motors located 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, where Kevin has his car this week, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, right near the Susquehanna Valley Country Club. All right, 100 days to go to the kickoff of college football season. 100 days. Gets rolling on Thursday, September 3rd. We are at 100 days. Penn State's now completed its caravan. Coming up in a few days, a rather rigorous, strenuous month of June. Dwight Gault has told me that as much as people talk about the winter program and his program, June, the players will tell you, might be the toughest month they go through to get ready for the upcoming season. Dennis Dodd, who's been a part of the show, we're going to get Dennis back on the show soon. By the way, Jim Delaney tomorrow has put out his top 25. Ohio State number one, TCU two, Oregon three, Alabama four, and I'm not so sure about that. This is one of the few Alabama teams since Nick Saban got on a roll that has a lot of holes in it. Baylor 5, Michigan State 6, Auburn 7, USC 8th. Favorable schedule for USC. They'll be favored in probably 10 of the 12 games they play. Florida State 9, but we don't know about whatever Golson can do for them. Georgia 10, Clemson 11, Wisconsin 12. I'm not so sure about that. 13 LSU, 14 Mississippi State with Dak Prescott back. Missouri 15, Boise State 16, Georgia Tech 17, 19, UCLA 20, Notre Dame 21, Ole Miss 22, Arkansas 23, Tennessee 24, Louisville 25. That's Dennis Dodd's top 25 in college football, 100 days out. 100 days to September 3rd. That means 102 to Penn State's opener with Temple.
I think it's interesting that a lot of these top 25 lists that come out have TCU so high up.
I'd have TCU in that number two spot, Kevin.
Well,
I'm not surprised about it.
I'm just saying, not that they're not worthy, I should say. I'm just surprised they're getting the recognition.
Well, look at the top five schools. Which of the two schools of the top five that have their quarterbacks back from last year? Ohio State and TCU. Alabama's going to have a new quarterback. Oregon's going to have a new quarterback. Baylor's going to have a new quarterback. They're all going to have new quarterbacks. It's a big difference. The Boykin kid for TCU, he's really, really good. Really good. And TCU should be in the two spot. Annual spring meetings for the SEC. Nick Saban says right now they're not playing on a level playing field with the other Power Five conferences. And he says that the SEC, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, and Pac 12 need to have the same rules for all five leagues. All right, well, let's start with this. Everybody should be playing the same amount of conference games and the same amount of non-conference games. The SEC plays eight conference games. Beginning next year, 2016, the Big Ten will join the Big 12 and the Pac-12 by having nine conference games. And I know the SEC, one thing that they're upset about is that they're upset about the transfer rules, which I think in part kept them from getting Everett Golson, believe it or not. Okay, they were not allowed in the SEC to take Golson because he missed a year for academic reasons. That's why, you notice he went to Florida State in the ACC and did not go to an SEC school. That was the reason that he had to rule the SEC out, And the satellite camps, which has been a big deal. We know about James Franklin. They did a satellite camp, whatever. Okay, I got it. And that's, so those are the rules he's talking about. To me, if playing eight conference games, look, I've got a problem. The SEC is a great conference. It has been a great conference for decades now. And obviously the past decade has been incredible, winning seven national championships and then having another school, Auburn, playing the eighth before losing to Florida State. That record speaks for itself. This particular year was not a great year for the SEC. Everyone talked about the dominance of the SEC West. Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. What did all five of those schools have in common this year? They all lost their bowl game. Those are the top five schools in the SEC West. All five lost their bowl game. Two of them to Big Ten teams, Ohio State and Wisconsin, beating Alabama and Auburn, respectively. Notre Dame beat LSU. TCU destroyed Ole Miss. And Georgia Tech, I believe, is the one that beat Mississippi State, if my memory serves me. That's your SEC West. In the end, the SEC this year had a good year. They did not have a great year. And remember, when you go back to Thanksgiving weekend, Clemson beat South Carolina, Georgia Tech beat Georgia, Florida State beat Florida, and what was the other one? Louisville beat Kentucky. Remember what the argument was that weekend? The argument was that weekend, That's the SEC East. That's the weaker of the two divisions. Okay. I'll buy your argument. Now explain to me Auburn, Alabama, LSU, Mississippi, Mississippi State, all losing their bowl games. They're all in the SEC West, along with Texas A&M and Arkansas. Now explain that part to me. I'm just saying, for a year, okay, dialed in. The SEC, what I don't, right now the Big Ten's been playing 8 conference games, so they've been in the same. They're going to go to 9 starting next year. The SEC has ruled out playing 9 conference games. And for the moment, so is the ACC. That's part of getting everyone on the same playing field here. The SEC is very clever with how they schedule their games, and I give them a lot of marketing credit for this. The Big Ten, you'll notice Penn State's schedule this year, will have 4 non-conference games and then 8 straight conference games. Beginning next year, the first 3 will be non-conference, then 9 straight conference games. And that's how the Big Ten schedule is going to be structured. That game last year with Temple was because of the two bye weeks. There were actually 3 built into the schedule. Well, that's why Penn State played Temple so late last year, because that was the extra bye week for them to do this. It's just an aberration in the schedule. For the most part, it's non-conference and all-conference. SEC doesn't do that. They cleverly stagger games in the schedule. Florida plays Tennessee, second week of the year. South Carolina plays Georgia, they play them third game of the year. And then there'll be weekends where they all play. And then there's always that next to last weekend before rivalry weekend, where suddenly out of nowhere, Western Carolina has no problem finding itself a game. There is an SEC opponent just waiting to schedule them. And it gets bypassed every year by the media, because there are so many other big games going on, and the SEC has built up so much goodwill by how they've staggered big game here, big game here, big game here, where now they're stealing weekends early in the season by putting, quote, big games on. They steal the weekend. Florida's playing Tennessee, big game. Wow. Okay. Yeah, there really aren't a lot of great games on this weekend. Florida's playing Tennessee, though. Wow, hey, look at this. Hey, Georgia's playing South Carolina, third week of the year. Big game. You know, meanwhile, you know, the Big Ten's playing Buffalo and playing Kent State. And, you know, I mean, and a lot of the other SEC schools are playing those schools, too. But it's camouflaged by a couple of big games they put in the third week, a couple of big games that they put in the conference of the second week, and they stagger the schedule out. We're in a week where South Carolina is playing, I don't know, throw a dart, Furman. It gets buried because the SEC has 3 other conference games going on. It's very clever how they do it. They make sure that except for the next to last weekend of the season, they don't have the entire conference playing games that they should win. That's how they do it. And the networks don't mind. CBS and ESPN don't mind. They want to carry meaningful games. So, by the way, they stagger the schedule. It gives them meaningful games. Now, for the Big Ten, when a Michigan plays in Oregon, or what Penn State had been doing, playing Notre Dame and some other teams along the way. You know, Joe got Miami back in the schedule. He got Notre Dame back in the schedule. You know, actually had Alabama earlier. He actually had Alabama scheduled for 5 and 6. And then when Alabama ran into trouble, Alabama asked that the series be pushed back to 10 and 11, and Penn State said yes. So they had on Miami, then they had on Alabama, they were going to have on Notre Dame. Well, they ended up having on Miami, then Notre Dame, then Alabama. Yeah. But then there are the other games, the ones everybody complains about. Well, why are they playing Eastern Illinois? Why are they playing Indiana State? And what happens is that in the Big Ten, you have three of the four weekends where there's a list of those games. The SEC is very clever with the way they schedule it. They schedule a couple schools against one another, like two big games in a weekend, the next week two big games in a weekend that are conference games, and they stagger it out to give you the impression that the entire conference is playing big games every week. It's a clever mirage because it works. CBS isn't complaining. They want big games. ESPN isn't complaining. They want big games. And so that's what they give them, just on a staggered schedule. Then they camouflage it because later on you do have to play four non-conference games. So when South Carolina is playing, I don't know, the Citadel, well, it's opposite the Alabama-Tennessee game, and like it doesn't really mean like, oh, yeah, fine. It falls off your level of consciousness. It's very smart what they do. But in order to get on a level playing field, the five major conferences have to make a decision. They all should be playing the same number of conference games. If the number is 8, so be it. If the number is 9, so be it. But they should, all five schools should be playing the same number of conference games. And every conference, waive the rule, every conference should be playing a conference championship game. And the Big 12 cost itself a potential spot in the national championship this year because they did not have a conference championship game. They did not have one. And as I pointed out going into those conference championship games that week, that first week in December, I made the point repeatedly that TCU and Baylor do not deserve a spot in the national championship Final Four. Because why should you ask Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State, and Oregon, why do they have to clear an extra hurdle and Baylor and TCU don't? And they cost themselves because they didn't give themselves the extra hurdle to clear. They were only asked to clear 12 hurdles, while the other four had to risk a 13th game to get there. They were rewarded for the risk. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Oh, I hear music like that, and one can only imagine how Kevin's dancing in the studio. Thank goodness it's radio, where imaginations can run wild.
Oh, who knows? We may have webcams soon. I know watching me in the studio would be exciting.
You asked about Dick Saban's complaining about capping cost of attendance.
Yeah, I read about that in that article you were referring to. Okay. He's talking about how much the cost is and why that's not balanced.
Well, okay, it's not balanced, and Penn State's a prime beneficiary of this. This is one where it really works in Penn State's favor. Penn State cost of attendance for a student athlete here, the athlete's going to get $4,722. If that same athlete were to choose Michigan State, they'd be getting $1,800. Okay, you're getting nearly $3,000 more in pure cheddar by going here. Now you're saying, can they cap it? They can't. You know, Saban's talking about capping it. That goes back to his NFL experience with the Dolphins. You can't cap it. And you're saying, what do you mean you can't cap it? You can't. Okay, the O'Bannon case and the ruling, which is under appeal right now, keeps you from capping the number. Remember, the O'Bannon case opened this door, and they can't cap it. Next, remember this, that if you are a professional athlete dealing with a salary cap, that is negotiated between the Players Association and the league.
Now you really open a can of worms.
Okay. There is no union for college athletes, nor does the NCAA want a union to negotiate for college athletes. This goes back to the Northwestern case of about what, 11 months ago? Maybe 10 months ago? Where they voted? Now, they haven't revealed the vote yet. The reason they haven't revealed the vote yet is that they are not allowed to reveal the vote until the National Labor Relations Board makes a ruling on Northwestern's appeal. But what you will find out is this, that in reality, the vote was something like 60 to 15 or something like that against the union. I think those are approximately the numbers, right, from what I understand, okay?
That's a significant percentage.
Right, 80%. That's my understanding from my sources, is that 80% voted no. But see, that's why cost of attendance is so staggered the way it is. They can't cap it. They can't put a hard and fast number on it. The O'Bannon case, in the ruling that happened in August of last year, won't allow it. Now, that's under appeal. It's a complicated sports world, and one of the five most powerful men in that sports world will be with us on the show tomorrow. Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten, joins us tomorrow on the show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.